Good morning. Today is Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate the advent of the Holy Spirit, one of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 tells us that the Holy Spirit was given on Pentecost, filling those who were gathered in Jerusalem. Acts 2, verse 1. On the church calendar, Pentecost is on the 50th day, counting from Easter. It is a day when we remember and celebrate not only the coming of the Holy Spirit, but also the beginning of the work of the church. Acts 2, verse 2 says that there was a sound at that moment, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. In the Old Testament, the phrases Spirit of God and Holy Spirit can be found, and the original words of these phrases have the meanings of wind or breath. This wind or Holy Spirit existed from before the time of creation. Genesis 1 verse 2 tells us that when the earth was still formless and empty, God's Spirit moved over the waters. Then, in Genesis 8, verse 1, after the rain and floods for 40 days at the time of Noah, God blew winds over the earth to make the waters recede. In Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2, God's Spirit works again like the spring wind, causing the plants to bring forth shoots, branches, and then to bear fruit. The dry bones in the valley found in Ezekiel 37:9 become a body with life once more when the winds blew on the bones from the four corners of the earth. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus in John 3 verse 8, he mentions how the Holy Spirit blows wherever it pleases as it does its mighty works. The Spirit is always close to us, just like the air and wind around us, so it is easy to forget that Christ's Spirit is living within us. And just like humans will die without air to breathe, without the work of the Holy Spirit, we cannot truly live for Christ. Just like air to breathe, there is another thing that is just as valuable for us to live, and that is water. For us Japanese who live in this country with mountains and their greenery, we can also take for granted that we have clean water to drink, just as it is easy to forget the air that we breathe. In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1, we see a depiction of water flowing through the new temple that became a great river, enabling plants to grow on its banks. Then in the New Testament, we read in John chapter 7 and chapter 4, verse 14, about the living water Jesus described that brings eternal life. On this Pentecost Sunday, let's look together at John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, to learn about the rivers of living water that represent the Holy Spirit. And now shall we pray before we turn to our scripture. Our loving Heavenly Father, we praise your name. And again, we thank you that though we cannot gather as one group at our church, we can in this way worship wherever we are. And we thank you for this opportunity. Father, you know us more than anyone else, and you know what we need to be shown, what lessons we need to take from this place, and what words we need to hear. So we ask that you would speak to each one of us, giving us those words, whether they be words to lead us, guiding us, comforting us, healing, giving us strength, and of course, words that lead to salvation. Speak to each one through the power of the Holy Spirit, and may that Holy Spirit be given freedom to work within us, we ask. Bless me as your speaker, that I would be true to the message that you want brought this morning, I ask. Give me your strength and wisdom. We pray all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. First, looking at the topic of spiritual thirst. and reading John 7, verse 37 once more. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." The background for this morning's verses can be found in chapter 7, verse 2, where we read about the Feast of Harvest, or the Feast of Booths, one of the three major Jewish feasts. On the final eighth day of this festival, Jesus stands in front of the people gathered at the temple in Jerusalem and shouts in a loud voice, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." In Exodus 23, verses 14 to 17, we can read about the festivals that the Jewish people were told to hold three times during the year. And we see that it was only the men that had to come before God during these special festivals. So we can imagine that most of the crowd that Jesus was speaking to was made up of mostly men. In the New Testament Gospels, John chapter 7 is the only place where this Feast of Harvest or Feast of Booths is mentioned. Jesus is not just asking if people are thirsty and want something to drink. This question by Christ is at a much deeper level. During the Feast of Harvest, water was carried from the pool of Siloam and poured out over the temple altar. This was done to show God their thanks for providing the rain and water needed for there to be a plentiful harvest, Zechariah 14, verse 17. And this festival did not have just this agricultural meaning, but it was also called the Feast of Booths because it was a time for the nation of Israel to remember the 40 years in the wilderness when God provided the people with booths to live in and water to drink. For the people of Israel, this festival also instilled in them the concept of redemption as God had rescued them both physically and spiritually. So this was the backdrop for our scene this morning, where Jesus shouts out his invitation to the crowd, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Secondly, looking at the promise made by the Lord Jesus. Now reading verse 38. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." What is interesting to notice is that in John chapters 2 through 7, each chapter has some kind of miracle or sign related to water. In chapter 2, we have the famous scene at the wedding in Cana, where Jesus shows his glory by turning the water into the finest wine as his first sign to the people, John 2, verse 11. Then in chapter 3, we see Nicodemus, a member of the ruling council, being told by Jesus how a person can be born again and see the kingdom of God, John 3, verse 3. In verses 5, 7, and 8, Nicodemus is taught about water and the wind. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." In chapter 4, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well and teaches her about the water that brings eternal life. Reading chapter 4, starting with the second half of verse 13 and then verse 14. "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." In chapter 5, Jesus heals the man at Bethesda Pool who had been an invalid for 38 years. John 5, verse 2 and verses 7 to 8. Christ also teaches that anyone who hears his words and believes in God who sent Jesus will be given eternal life. Reading chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Chapter 6 describes the scene where the disciples are in a boat with rough waves and a strong wind blowing. Jesus comes to them on the water, and when he enters the boat, everything becomes calm and they reach their destination. John chapter 6, verses 18 to 21. Later in the chapter, Jesus teaches the disciples that he is the bread of life that can satisfy a person's spiritual hunger and thirst. Reading John 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, but whoever believes in me, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So we see that chapters 2 through 7 are filled with events and signs that had to do with water. At the end of these accounts, we read the promise of how God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, becomes a river of living water flowing from one's heart for those who believe in Christ as their Savior. And thirdly today, looking at the point, the day when the Holy Spirit was given. Now reading John 7, verse 39. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. On the last day of the Feast of Harvest, Jesus teaches the crowd that he himself would go to the cross and die to become the atonement for man's sin. On the third day, he would rise from the dead, receive God's glory, and later return to heaven. After this, his Holy Spirit would come upon his believers. On the day when the ceremony of pouring water on the temple altar was being held, Jesus told the people about the work of that Holy Spirit, which was a river of living water. I'd like to summarize in closing now and thinking about the question, have you experienced the rivers of living water flowing from your heart? The story of Triune God's plan of salvation is recorded from the Old Testament to the New Testament in the Bible, and the work of God's Spirit that cannot be seen is described using the image of the wind that we also cannot see. The Holy Spirit also quenches a person's spiritual thirst, and as physical water enables man to grow plants and raise animals, so the Spirit enables his followers to bring forth spiritual fruit. The water that flowed from the threshold of the temple in Isaiah 47, verse 1, became a huge river that eventually led to the ocean, verse 8. It became good water and provided life to all living things, verse 9. Against the backdrop of the people gathered at the temple for the water pouring ceremony, on the last day of the Feast of Harvest, Jesus talked about and promised the Holy Spirit that would satisfy the spiritual hunger and thirst of those who sought God. That same Holy Spirit lives in the hearts of all those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It flows from that person's heart like a river of living water, and it gives us confidence that we have been given eternal life through the name of Jesus. If there are any who have not yet believed and accepted Jesus as Savior, please respond today to Jesus' invitation to you to receive and drink from the living waters that will fill your hearts when you believe and are saved. The Holy Spirit that was given to us on Pentecost many years ago is still living with each one who believes in Jesus as their Savior. It helps to make us more and more like Christ, and the rivers of living water work in and through us like the wind that also cannot be seen. May we have a desire for the Holy Spirit to work even more to bring forth spiritual fruit for God's glory. Let us give thanks on this Pentecost Sunday that we have been given the Holy Spirit. May we give thanks that our sins have been forgiven and that the Spirit works within us as we live for eternity with God. Shall we pray? Our merciful and loving Heavenly Father, we praise your name, and we thank you that Jesus Christ came into our world to save us from death and destruction, the punishment for sin. And we also thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to be with us at all times, wherever we are. Help us to follow your Spirit as you lead us, and may we bring forth good fruit with the Spirit's help and power. Fill our hearts through the work of that Spirit, and we ask that you would lead us so that we can fully and truly respond to your invitation to walk closely with you. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. We pray all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.